Hey everyone, it's Amy here. Welcome to our first training call for the Your Powerful Virtual Wellbeing and Yoga Retreat. So cool to see a bunch of you jumping on, joining me live today, tonight, this evening, this afternoon. Super fun. This is going to be great. So welcome. If you're brand new to me, to my community, a special warm welcome. It's fantastic to have so many of you come together on this topic, and I've got to say, you know, I hope it came through, and it may have come through in the materials if you've had a chance to look through everything yet, but hopefully it sort of came through in the marketing for this program, that I really am a little bit in love, still besotted with the power of virtual retreats because of how useful they were to me when there was a time in my business that, you know, I was teaching yoga and doing life coaching, looking to fill in-person retreats and workshops and find private clients. It was so incredibly rewarding on a whole bunch of levels, and it's been something that I haven't done all year, and so it's lovely to share all of this information with all of you. And my intention is that you can pick it up and run with it. And use it to your advantage, and of course to the advantage of your participants as you implement. So tonight we're going to be focusing mostly on the first module, the workbook, and I just want to do a check-in and make sure that people know where to go and where to find things. So hopefully if you're joining me on the call, it's likely that you have found the members area and you've had some time to peruse it. You'll see there that the workbooks, you can click through to download the workbooks, and you will need to download them to fill them in, right? If you just type into them on your browser, it's not going to, don't do that the hard way. Download them, save them somewhere special, type into them then. And also the bonus materials and all the details for the calls are on the members page as well, as is a section where you can put in comments if you can't make the calls live and there's something particular that you would like me to address for you. There are comment sections for each training call. You can post the comments in there and I'll get back to you. The nature of living on a round planet means that we're, as a global community, some of us get off when it comes to time zones. So I just want to, you know, recognize that. Hello, I know that I can see that there is someone here from Maui who I thought was supposed to be tucked up in bed. So just to say that, you know, sometimes you'll get a sucky time zone and that's just the way it goes. You can use the comment section to let me know if there's anything in advance that you would like me to cover. So before we dive right on into the materials themselves, what I'd like to do is I would like us all to just come to a point of stillness. You know, first and foremost, whether you're a yoga teacher or not, first and foremost, everybody who signed up to this program in some fashion has some form of spiritual contemplative practice that they desire to share with a broader audience. So I think it's best that we walk our own talk and we start by taking a moment to just settle in and come back to center. So if there is some position, some posture, asana, some way of being that feels appropriate to you to come to a point of stillness, if you're listening to this replay in your car, choose wisely. And so maybe like me, that's sitting upright in your chair, feet firmly planted on the floor, and then if it's safe for you to gently close your eyes and take some deep breaths. Just taking this time, this pause, recognizing that we're shifting gears with intention, that we're choosing to step into new things. We're choosing to expand into new ways of being of service, of offering what it is that we do. And that as with any new learning opportunity, there will be things that come easily and there will be things that require a little more work. And that the work is so much of the journey. There is so much to be learnt in the learning itself. If you have a sankalpa, if you have an intention, if you feel called to take sankalpa mudra, do that now. Repeating your intention, your resolve for maybe just this call, maybe the course in its entirety, maybe something even more substantive across your yoga business. reconnecting to what that purpose is for you in this moment and repeating it to yourself silently, japa, 3 times. And if you're holding it, releasing Sankalpa Mudra now and coming back to the present moment, refreshed, open-minded, ready to dive right in. So I am your hostess for this training program. Amy McDonald is my name, obviously. Yoga teacher, yoga geek, just in case, like for everybody who knows me a little, they'll be like, oh yeah, we know that. If you're new, get prepared for me to make bad pop culture yoga gags. I don't expect you to laugh at them. It's sort of for my own edification. They will be peppered through everything I have to say. I can't help myself. It's a compulsion. I am a yoga business coach and am enjoying essentially a laptop lifestyle at the moment. Thank you very much. It's really nice. Wouldn't it be great when all yoga teachers generate an abundant income because they're of deep service and they get to share that wealth in a way that feels fantastic? That's kind of my mission in life, and it serves me well, and it serves the people that I have the pleasure and the privilege of working with well also. So while I don't actively teach on a regular basis because I'm here, there and everywhere, I do have a background in yoga teaching, and I am uncoolly an alignment-based yoga teacher. My most thumbed yoga tomb is BKS Iyengar's Light on Yoga. Make of that what you will. I say let's not judge each other in our approach to this wild and wacky thing we call yoga. And to that end, to the people who are joining this program, and there are some fabulous folks who aren't yoga teachers, please translate as I go, folks, and apply what I'm talking about in yoga speak to whatever fabulous thing it is that you're offering up to the world. So we'll dive into the module in just one moment. Before we do, I've got a little bit of housekeeping, etiquette-y kind of stuff. So the first one that's important for me, and I'd like to suggest for all of us, is that we really respect and contain the energy of this program. And what I'm talking about there is that there are a limited number of people who signed up to do this program. You're them, and I'm so grateful that you're here. And to that end, I would like us to sort of keep this space private and contained. So what I'm talking about is please don't share the materials with people who haven't signed up for the program. This will be something that you'll also face as you go on to convert your fantastic virtual retreats into things that you offer for a price to your community. So that also includes, please don't link the members area if you're in things like my Facebook group. So there's lots of fabulous folks in my Facebook group. Some of them are my private coaching clients. Some of them have done things with me in the past. Some of them are just interested in what we all have to say. And they're not all in this program. So please don't share those links in the Facebook group. And then the other thing that I just wanted to mention was that one of the things that I absolutely take a stand for with my clients and anybody who signs up to any of my programs, such as this one, is that we foster as a community an understanding that as a group of people, we're unavailable for overwhelm, for drama, and for kind of like spin, right? There may be things that you encounter as this course progresses that trigger you. I was talking to someone today who is a student of Anna Forrest. We were laughing, you know, how fabulous is Anna Forrest? And she was quoting Anna saying, you know, don't waste a good trigger, you know. So just know that there may be things as we're going along that may trigger you, and it could be as simple as I can't link my PayPal account to my website, right? Who knows what that may or may not be? And let's take a collective, let's make a collective agreement that we're unavailable from overwhelm in those situations. There's always a way through, there's always a way around, there's always a solution to whatever it is you're working on. And we don't need to get ourselves all caught up in spin and blame and but you should do this and I can't do that because I'm not this, that and the other. I'm all about solutions, and I believe, and I think, you know, the yogi texts teach us this, that actually we are all inherently self-sufficient. It's the macrocosm, microcosm phenomenon. And that applies to group learning in the sense that we all take responsibility for our own journey. These training calls are where you can get on the phone or the web call with me, or if you're listening on the webcast, you can post in the Q&A box through instant teleseminar. And I have got as much time as it takes to get through everybody's questions. So there is enough time for you, there is enough space for you, and I believe you will get what you need from this program. And so we can all just lean back into knowing that there's no need or time or availability for any of us to get into spin or overwhelm or any sense of lack or feel like we're missing out. Great things are in store for all of us. Your job is to show up, be involved, and take what you need from your participation. Okay, so the last thing then is just to reiterate the purpose of these training calls. I'm not a trainer who likes to sit on the phone with people and go through the workbook. We're grown-ups. We all have different learning styles and approaches. If you want to lie in the tub and fill out your workbook with a pen, if you want to sit on, I don't know, on commuting on the way home and type it into your iPad, if you don't want to do anything with the modules at all, it's up to you. You choose to use them as you feel called to. And this time is where we get to go deep into Q&A. Now, largely, I'm going to break the call up into components so that I'll take calls on certain topics at certain times, and then at the end I'll throw it open to anything that we haven't covered. So just know that there will be time for your question to be answered. Please don't be shy. Please feel very safe and secure in this environment. We're all here to learn. You wouldn't have signed up if you knew it all already, so you can't ask a stupid question. If you're having any freak out about the tech part, if you're having any freak out about visibility, putting yourself out there, having your photo on the internet, if you've got any drama around social media, if you're nervous about charging for these things, all of those, just know that you're in good company and that everything that you ask is valid. I might be a little playful with you if you'll permit me, but you can't ask a silly question. It's just not possible. What else before we get going? Oh, the last thing that I'll say is that if my intention is to take live calls first and then address questions that have been posted in the members area second. I just think that's fair. If you're here in person, I will get to you first. And then, so just know that if you aren't attending the calls live and you are posting questions in the members area, awesome. I will totally cover them and they will tend to be towards the end of the call. Hokey dokey. So with that, let's dive into module number one, which is all about getting started. You know, something that essentially this program is about doing one thing. And so how to pick it apart and pull it into components that seemed logical. It sort of took a bit of thinking. So hopefully this feels like a good starting point for you. And I wanted us to start with Sankalpa because I think it's how we show up. Most of us, at least, maybe not formally, but informally, whenever we teach, whenever we practice. And then I've gone straight into, well, who are the people that you want to bring to your virtual retreats? Who are the people that you would like to invite? And what's important here is to know that you get to choose whatever you want. The people that you would like to go out and offer your virtual retreats to don't have to be similar in any way to the people who might be showing up to your in-person classes. So I had this exact conversation with someone fabulous who is today, who's in this program. And she was saying, well, the people who come to my classes, they're quite different from the people who I want to offer other things to. Is that okay? Do I have to offer my virtual retreats to the kind of sporty types that are coming to my in-person classes? And the answer to that is absolutely not. You get to offer these up to whomever you feel called to serve. There are 3 billion people on the internet. You probably don't want all of them rocking up to your virtual retreat, but fair to say that within that 3 billion, there are some who are going to like exactly what it is that you've got to share. So to that end, what's important is that you get very, very specific. And this is a lesson in abundance consciousness. Right. Let me tell you a little personal story. So before I started doing virtual retreats and I was trying to be everything to everybody, i.e. hint codependence, I was very nervous about getting specific in who I wanted to serve because I was worried that there wouldn't be enough for me that lack consciousness, right? That's Gerard Narr at the tent going, I'll take everything you've got, thank you very much, Krishna, and more. When we step back into abundance consciousness, we know that there's always going to be enough. There's always enough students for us. There's always enough money for us. There's always enough time for us when we tune in, check in, and are open to receive it. And in my business, it wasn't until I got very, very specific about the people that I wanted to serve, that I wanted to offer my virtual retreats to, that they really started to become successful. So even though it might seem a little bit tedious to go through that ideal client work, and in you know, if you've been doing these sort of business coaching programs in the past, it'll be like, oh God, not that again. I promise you, this is, it's like the Tadasana of offering some kind of thing online or any kind of program development, right? If you don't nail this one, things go bad, or they take too long, or you get into unnecessary work, or you attract people who aren't the people you really want to work with. You know, life becomes more difficult. So please, if you haven't already, spend some time really digging into these ideal client questions. And if you don't know, you can, I mean, you can make it up. This will change over time, but don't blow it off, because it's super, super important. And we'll absolutely be coming back to this when we look at Facebook advertising. These, all of these questions will become super important when we start looking at actually looking for paid traffic and spending some money on getting more people signing up to your retreat. So what I'm going to do now is just invite anybody who has a question about ideal clients, so the first sort of section of module one of the workbook. If anyone has a question about ideal clients, if you're listening on the web call, there's a button you can press. It says raise hand. Go ahead and do that. If you're calling in with your telephone, you can press star 2 on the keypad to raise your hand. So this is questions relating to questions relating to the ideal client stuff. And if you're on the webcast, rockin', you can post in the Q&A box, and I shall check over there right now. Anything on ideal clients, and also anything on, you know, etiquette, anything that I've covered so far. If you've got any preliminary questions, I'll take those now as well. Okay, let me just, there was a question in the members area about this. So I'll cover that now. Okay, so Christina McPherson had a question about how do I design, oh, this is about Brand Sutra. So her question was about what about if you have more than one kind of, what about if you have more than one ideal client? How do you handle that? I suggest that, in fact, we all like to work with different types of people. So, for example, in all of the stuff I was doing back in the day that you've got in the modules last year, the year before, the people I was teaching in my yoga classes weren't busy. Well, not the majority of them, stressed out, tired women, which was the target market of my virtual retreats. My target market for my virtual retreats at the beginning were people, women, who I thought would come to my in-person retreat in Alice Springs. The people who were coming to my yoga classes, men and women, all sorts of different ages. And in fact, the people I really liked to teach were very different from the people I was trying to attract into my retreat. So to answer your question, you can enjoy more than one ideal client in different environments. When it comes to offering a virtual retreat and doing it in a very targeted way, I would encourage you to choose just one and focus on just one. And when that is amazing and hugely successful, or you've burned out and you're sick of it, then choose another one. But at the beginning, again, go as narrow as you possibly can, and that's where you will find greater success. All right, if there aren't any questions on the ideal client stuff, let's move on. I would really love to hear from some people about the Brand Sutra that you've come up with. Again, this is really important stuff. When you get this right, when this is really clear, you will be successful. If this is amorphous or vague, if this is remotely flip-floppy or kind of energy leaking in energy in any way, you won't be successful. And it can be as simple as a small tweak here or there. So I'd love to hear from some brave soul who is going to break the ice here and share with us your brand sutra. Who's it going to be? Star 2 on the keypad or press the raise hand button if you're on the web call. I'll just take a quick sip of water. Okay, you fabulous brave soul dialing in from Hawaii and should be in bed. You're now unmuted.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you great. Do you want to take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Amulya Bodden, and I have a page and a website called Tantra Kriya Bliss. I am a Tantra Kriya yoga teacher, and not necessarily in the way most people think of Tantra. It's really deep, sort of meditative practices and independent, really a lot of practices with the chakras and whatnot. But so in the past week and a half, after I got back from my most recent teacher training, I created the Facebook page, business page, and the brand new website, and I created the logo. And then I listened to your free offering, one of them at least, where you were talking about choose your colors, you know, create your brand. Mm-hmm. So I chose my colors, orange, purple, and sort of like a nice mauve-y, hot, more of a bold mauve type pink. And I'm not exactly sure what you mean by brand sutra. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm describing it right now.
Okay. What I'm calling a brand sutra is essentially the template in module one, which is just really distilling all of the qualities that you've identified from about your ideal participant. So the people who would be signing up to do your virtual retreat, and then making it like putting it into a very clear statement. So when I was doing it, my brand sutra was, I'm Amy McDonald and I offer nourishing restorative virtual retreats to stressed out busy mums so they can take time out for themselves. My women's circle self-care virtual retreats are affordable, available whenever you need them, and suitable for all levels of practitioners, from beginners to advanced yogis. So knowing what you know about the people in your community, who do you think would be, like, what are you offering, and what would be your brand sutra?
Okay, great. Well, I do have a public, this sounds like the brand sutra is more for our sort of internal visioning and manifesting of what we're offering.
Yeah.
I have an external statement that we'll probably describe, and then I can from there.
Okay, cool. Perfect.
So it's a marketing, it's sort of like the external tagline, and mm-hmm. that's celebrating life, love, creative purpose, and sacred community mm-hmm. through embodiment practices and heart-centered recognition of the divinity within all.
Okay.
So that's right. That. But for me, what it means in terms of, so I haven't done the sutra yet, which I'll do. Mm-hmm. But what I see as my ideal clients are people who want that sort of the vision of what I just said, but haven't found a way to connect with it yet. So my offerings are for transformational healing and helping people come into their bodies and their hearts. Mm-hmm. And feel more grounded, more alive, not just more aware, and more connected to themselves and other people. So it's people who want that but don't really feel like they have it yet. And I'll just say, and then that's probably as much as I need to speak right now. But mm-hmm. What I found I've created my first two events. Actually, mm-hmm. they're happening next week on the full moon evening. One's online and one's here on Maui. And what I found in the page, and I've run up against this sort of so far roadblock, is all of my friends, I have like over 4,000 friends, and it's letting me invite my friends. But I have had traditionally like exceedingly creative friends from like Los Angeles and San Francisco and New York, and they're all kind of already there. Many mm-hmm. of them are already there. And so I'm not finding in my friends pool the ideal client, because the ideal client are the people who don't feel like they're there yet.
Aren't there yet. So, mm-hmm. Great. Yeah,
anyway, so that's what I have to share.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. I'm just going to mute your line. So a couple of things. Fantastic. I'm so excited for you that you've got things up and happening. I love someone who takes action. Brilliant. One of the things that we can get caught up with a little bit is that working in the industry, I'm going to say that about yoga, you know, forgive me, that we work in, we have a sense of what our language means, right? So everything that you just shared, I get it. I know, I can envision exactly what you're talking about. I have a fairly clear idea that if I turned up to your in-person event or your online version, I feel fairly confident that I would get a sense of who else would be there, what we would talk about, what we would experience. I kind of get it. I kind of speak your language. But the people that you're trying to attract might not. And so we can take for granted what things mean to us because we're in the club already. The other thing that can, so on that, just I would encourage you to be even more specific, even if it feels like you're constricting what it is that you're offering. Once you start putting it out into the world online beyond your friendship group, even if your friendship group on Facebook I'm talking about is 4,000, once you start promoting it even more broadly, it's imperative that you get so much more specific about what it is you're offering so that you're not attracting the wrong people. You can imagine if you posted up something about heart-centered connection, tantric practitioners, you would get a whole bunch of people from interwebs land who might interpret that sentence completely different to how you interpret it, to how I interpret it. So go even more specific, like narrow. Even though it might sort of feel like strangling to you, it won't once it goes out into the big wide world of the internet. So that's point number one. Get more specific in your language. And I had another point and it totally passed me by. If it comes back, I'll jump back on that. So anyone else ever want to run past their brand sutra? I've got two fabo folks, Christine. Oh, hey, Christine in London. So Christine's is, I offer an affordable 4-week beginner's program for busy mums who find it difficult to get out of the house. My online program is easy to follow, comprehensive and suitable for complete beginners. I haven't actually created the course, but this is my vision. Okay, Christine, you're off to a really great start. I know who it is. I know who it's for, and I know how you're going to more or less deliver it. I've got no idea what it is. So I don't know what a beginner's program is. So I want to know more about that. And I'd love it to be just a tiny bit more enticing. And you could go even narrower, like busy mums could be, you know, this is super broad still. So what sort of busy mums? Busy mums with kids still at home, with toddlers and infants, empty nesty busy mums, corporate busy mums. You can get more specific, like just as I was saying earlier, go even more narrow. So if you need to, dive back into all of the answers you came up with for who is your ideal client, and get even more specific. Lena, hello, gorgeous. Hi, Amy. I'm looking to attract mothers who need some rest and relaxation by means of yoga that has with long-term view that they'll be more likely to sign up their kids for my Real Kids yoga classes. Okay, so interesting. And I think I'm going to have to give this a little bit more thought than what I can get at tonight. So because what I know of your business, Lena, at the moment at least, you're teaching kids yoga. And you're proposing for your virtual retreat option that you would just offer something to mothers. My sense, just taking this in right now, is that the gap is too big. If you were going to go on and offer something like a weekend retreat for women to come to, like leave the kids at home and come on retreat, that would make sense to me. That I can connect those dots. If you were offering some kind of, program for parenting or something like that, that would make sense to me. But offering mothers to come to do a virtual retreat with you and then hoping that locally enough people will take your spin-off classes, I think that's too much of a long bow to draw. So you might like to play with the idea of what would it be like to offer virtual retreats for mums and kids, or parents and their kids. So it's like you come with your kids, you turn the virtual retreat on, and the family does it together. You know, you could do, there could be storytelling and drawing and yoga asana and some relaxation-y sort of stuff, and that you encourage, in fact, the family to do that together. That feels like it might then segue better into filling your existing classes. And, Lena, I think what is a completely untapped market is offering family-based yoga retreats. So if you offered something somewhere gorgeous, where you booked accommodation that people came as families and you had enough childcare support so that everybody got to do yoga, including parents without kids, parents with kids, kids without parents. I think, you know, you could, if I think this could be a really beautiful thing. It could really take off in, you know, wholesome, holistic parenting Facebook groups, for example. And then it would drive really good traffic to offer something in person. But I just feel that offering something specifically to the mothers and then hoping to get them to get their kids to come is too much of a stretch. We want people to see you as a kids/families yoga teacher from the beginning. Otherwise, it just, the dots might be too far apart to connect. Great work, ladies. David, represent. I love it when there's blokes. Good for you. Ah, David Newport. I offer releasing and aligning online posture workshops to busy and active professionals. Nice one, David. People who are looking to improve their posture and reduce or remove pain and improve recovery so they can live an ever more fulfilling and healthy life. My online retreats are designed to help you get back control of your body so that you have the freedom and energy for all that you do. This is a super, super good start, David. A couple of things. If you're looking for active professionals and people listening in from the States, Canada, we call what you call corporates, we call professionals. And I understand that it's a little bit patronizing, as I understand it, how the term that we use. So anyway, that's what we're talking about. So David, I want to know, I'm presuming you haven't specified a gender, so I'm presuming you're up for ladies and gents. Great. I'd like to know what age group they're in, because if I'm a 20-something investment banker, I want a different type of experience than if I'm 65 and I can't, my golf swing is suffering. So I'd like to know a bit more about that. I would like to know about, so posture, I mean, we get how cool posture is and we could probably, you know, go out for dinner and talk all night about it. But most normal people wouldn't. So I want to know why. You got to tell me more about what's the benefit, what's the boon that they get from doing the posture work. Posture in and of itself, for anyone other than yoga geeks, is like, yeah, what's the outcome? So things like reduce or remove pain is really good. I'm a little bit nervous about remove pain, just because I'm very conscious of making guarantees that you can't fulfill on. And sometimes we have great intentions, but saying something like removing pain, you don't want someone to try and sue you because they still had pain at the end of your course, for example. The other thing I'm interested about here is whether or not, David, for you, your people are going to respond to the idea of an online retreat. That might be too woo-woo. The people, when I was doing it, the people who would come loved a bit of woo-woo, right? They were all over it. In fact, they were far more woo-woo than I am. I don't know if your people are going to be up for an online retreat, but they might be up for some kind of like therapeutics workshop or active in the workplace, active in the weekends, training. So just if you're going for professionals, I would look to just what words would really resonate and make sense with them, because the online retreat might not resonate for them. So you might want to just think about how can you make it a bit more workshop or like a training. Maybe there's a different language to choose. And if you're not sure, I'd encourage you to ask some colleagues and see what, you know, just ask some friends that are of the age group and of the sort of genre of the people that you're hoping to serve, and see what they would choose. Would they pick a retreat ad off Facebook, for example? Would they be like, "Whoa, that's weird. Who is that retreaty guy? He sounds a bit tantric." I'm teasing. But maybe they would do some kind of like healthy back, healthy something workshop. Check that out. Elaine wants to know, what do I press to speak live? So Elaine, that is a great question. It depends. It depends how you called in. If you called in on the web call, there's a button there that says raise hand. If you called in on your phone, you press star 2 on the keypad. And I suspect you might have called in on the webcast, in which case, my dear, I'm sorry, but the only way that you get to talk to me right now is exactly as you have by typing into the Q&A box. Alrighty. So Elaine's branding stuff, specific audience I'm interested in. I'm Elaine O'Rourke and I offer nourishing and healing virtual retreats to people with IBD and I'm sorry, Elaine. So folks can learn stress reduction techniques for optimal health. My gentle self-care virtual retreats are designed like a reset button to help relax, restore, and renew. I'm really liking this. I think people who have stuff like Crohn's are up for a whole lot more talk about their biology. These people want to talk about their guts. They want to talk about farting and diarrhea and what you can eat and what you can't. I'm not saying that you put that in your copy, but you can be far more specific about what it is that you're talking about. So you could say something like, so nourishing and healing virtual retreats, yeah, but you could say something like, nourishing and healing retreats for people like suffering with or living with Crohn's, colitis, IBD, specifically focusing on techniques to alleviate pain, reduce stress to reduce symptoms, an easier way, like make some, I mean, that was a bad intestines euphemism, but you get the idea. I think you can go, my gentle self-care virtual retreat, that's a double up sort of. I feel like you've already said that, so give me something new. I love the reset button. I think that makes sense. And because I know a bit about these conditions, I understand that, I understand that you want people to emotionally feel well so that they physically feel well, but I think you could paint that more vividly. Remember, I mean, once this goes out big, if your intention is to run some Facebook ads, there is a, I was going to say butt ton, but I suspect that that's a poor phrase to use for these folks, but there are like a lot of folks who have IBD who are going to be like, bingo, bango, I want a bit of that. Anything that's going to get me out of feeling like shit, I've done it again, and sorry everyone, I've done another bad pun, is going to be useful. So off to a really great start, Elaine. Go more specific. Alrighty, let me see. Okay, Karen, I'm not sure if this is Karen Buckland, Karen, but it doesn't say here. I'm Karen. I offer nourishing online meditation and yoga retreats for people who would like to dive deeper into meditation and home practice without having to leave the comfort of your own home. Take time for yourself and deepen your commitment to your practice and your soul. I like it, and it's way too generic. So you would get 2 of the 3 billion people on the internet with that. Get better at defining who you want to show up. Remember, when we're going out onto virtual land, it's very different from offering something in your own house or in your own studio. You know, then you're drawing from a limited pool of people. But by going virtual, by going online, you are literally throwing open the doors to the world. So you need to be specific so you don't have people beating the doors down to get in, right? You don't want a stampede in your virtual retreat center. And one of the ways that you can begin to filter this is to think about what do you want these people to do at the end? So coming back to the example of mine and the modules, my intention at the outset was to have people sign up for my Alice Springs retreat, which they did because I was specific about that. So maybe you have a program that you want to sell at the end. Maybe you have in-person offerings that you want to sell at the end. Maybe you have an info product or supportive tools like a yoga nidra download or a via Skype Reiki session, I'm just saying. That you want to make available to people to as an on-sell during the retreat. So if you're not entirely sure who you want to come along, think about what you want to achieve by offering the virtual retreat. And I would like to suggest that in this community, we're past the point of doing these things purely because we want to. I would encourage all of us to be thinking about We're doing these because we're yoga business professionals and they are an element of our business and have some business function, aka lead to or in and of themselves generate income. Alrighty, Rosemary. Rosemary St. Louis, I and I offer nourishing restorative virtual retreats to burnt out yoga teachers and healers. Ka-ching! You've got that. Nice one, Rosemary. So they can take time out for themselves. My healing yoga retreats are available for you from your own home and are suitable for beginners to advanced practitioners. Okay, if Rosemary, if you are going for yoga teachers, you have permission to go far more specific with yoga language here. If I read that as a yoga teacher and a long-time yoga practitioner, I would think, oh, that's a bit beginnery. That could, you know, that sort of means nothing to me. But if you spoke really bluntly to me about what it means to be a burnt-out yoga teacher, which I think is, you know, a taboo topic, really, and something that needs attention and love from practitioners such as yourself, you can get far more laser and speak to me, the burnt-out yoga teacher. So put yourself, I know Rosemary was sort of spoken about this, if you put yourself in those shoes, and I'm sure there are people on this call right now who have been there, online marketing, the phrase is pain points, which is not a nice phrase, but what it means is you want to go straight to what causes people pain and mention that, because what you're saying is, this is your pain and I'm going to get you out of it by coming to my virtual retreat. So David, just to be clear, I'm sort of talking about emotional pain. We can't make those sorts of claims about, you know, sciatica, for example. So Rosemary, if that's me, if I am a burnt out yoga teacher, then you could really go there with me and in doing that, in being very clear and in poking my pain point, in saying, I think the phrase I use in some of my copy is, are you terrified of falling out of love with yoga because you're simply burnt out teaching? Something like that. Like if you said something, I offer time out or, recalibration or or even a safe space for teachers who are terrified that they're approaching burnout in offering yoga to the world. I think you can dial up the emotion here and really speak to people who really need what you're offering. Great target market, really needs what you're doing. And I think all of us give you permission to name it more clearly. Alrighty, let me jump back over to conference. Okay, so someone calling in on a cell phone from Redwood City. Your phone number ends in 5680. You are unmuted. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, it's me, Kendra Diaz Ford. Nice
Kendra.
Hi. I just wanted to jump on the bandwagon of getting some feedback on the Brand Sutra.
Excellent.
So I'll just read mine. I'm Kendra Diaz Ford. I offer yoga of leadership virtual retreats for people who want to go beyond the studio to develop a deeper daily connection to their yoga practice to support inner transformation so they can feel more fulfilled and connect more deeply to their authentic self. My virtual retreats are designed to give you foundational yoga practices that will help you heal as you connect to the strength of your being.
Okay, so the last sentence, you need to go to Maui and the two of you can hang out, and because that's too like, what? I get it, but what on the internet? And what I know about you, Kendra, from when we've spoken before is like you're a very smart woman. You're very committed to this path. You are, you know, sort of scholarly in your approach to all of this stuff. That sentence is way too amorphous and you could be out there in a handkerchief skirt and just like, you know, woo-woo up the wazoo, really.
Okay.
And the other thing, I'm really liking it. I think you can distill it a lot more. One thing that I'm curious about, what's the name of your business again?
The name of my business is The Yoga of Leadership.
Let's give a virtual round of applause to Kendra for The Yoga of Leadership. I just think is phenomenal. I love it. I want to join. I don't think you need to talk about virtual retreats. Like, I want you to give me something, like maybe it's not an institute, but it's I want to come and participate in your yoga of leadership. Virtual retreat is like, it's got to be something sort of, it's like I was saying about for David, like to be on brand, I don't know, I just feel like there's another word that would better suit what you're talking about, particularly with your sort of approach to like learning styles. If I imagine if I came along to your virtual retreat, you're not going to get me to lie down and take me to a chakra rebalancing visualization. Like, it's about application, it's about off the mat being a yogi in the modern world. Mm-hmm. I just feel there's, it's not academy, but it's something else. I don't know if virtual retreat is quite right. So maybe think about, and thinking about what you want to offer beyond these as well, mentorship or whatever. But I'd play with the idea of maybe virtual retreat, while the templates and everything is still work for you, maybe you call it something else for your business.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna have to
stew on
that a little bit.
Yes, think with it.
Like that.
Read through the copy you've already got on your website and stuff, and it'll jump out at you. It'll be one of those kind of like brain careers where you suddenly go, oh, of course, it's that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to mute your line. Okie dokie. So again, someone who, I can't see where you're calling in from, but if your phone number finishes with 9717, you are unmuted. What's your name and what's your question?
Yeah, g'day. It's Matt from Australia.
Hey, Matt. I thought that looked like an Australian mobile number.
It is. So obviously I need to do some work to get really specific and focused on my target.
Hey, Matt. I don't know if it's your reception or something, but you're kind of breaking up a little. Or maybe you've broken up completely. You there?
I'm back. Hey, but yeah,
right. Don't
my
move.
Reception. Okay, don't move.
Sorry, tell me about what you've got so far.
So I've got two ideas, and I'm trying to narrow down and be really specific. One area I'm like super passionate in is just enabling guys to be happy and healthy.
Nice.
So there's a lot of guys, men in my area, and I'm sure around the world, that are depressed and just not living their, you know, a happy, healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening into the thing about the woo-woo and the virtual retreat. You know, that's probably not going to appeal to a guy on the internet going, I want to go on this virtual retreat. And it's like, how do I'm just trying to get in my head, just the branding and the language to attract just guys to go through a program, just to come online and, you know, spend some time, you know, breathing and moving. And from that, just, you know, being a little more open and happy and healthy.
Uh-huh. Okay, cool. I love the beginning of your target market. And yeah, you're right. You've got a fair bit to do to narrow it down.
Yeah.
What does your, have you been through the ideal client questions in the workbook?
Yeah, I've been through it, and my head is still bouncing between trying to fill an in-person retreat. I've actually got one coming up in a couple of, in September,
yep.
And that clientele is not going to be this men's happiness and health, men's wellness group sort of thing.
Okay,
so
cool.
That's
so
the
tell
other
me
thing.
About your in-person retreat.
Okay, it's in Bali. It's on the island of Nusa Lembongan. It's called Sup and Restore. So it's stand-up paddleboard yoga and then a whole bunch, which is the more yang activity.
Yep.
And then we're going to do a whole bunch of restoration, morning sort of sunrise meditation and mantra, yin yoga, yoga nidra. So they're going to get to, you know, relax in the beautiful island. They're going to get to do a bit of fun stand-up paddleboard yoga, connect with the water, and just pretty much chill out and relax. Get guided through, yin yoga, some yoga nidra. We're going to teach a little bit of therapeutic body work, a little bit of acro yoga.
Okay, so potentially there could be dudes signing up for your retreat that then are interested in you, like how what you've got to say, and then join your virtual community. So there could be a link between the two, but I get what you're saying, that they're different. Mm-hmm. What's more important to you at this time from a business perspective? Getting more, September's coming. How many people do you still want to come to enroll for your retreat?
We could definitely attract another maybe 4 to 6 people around that.
Okay,
sort of...
give us a gratuitous plug. Tell us all your URL.
Okay. My website is Matt Worley Yoga. So MattWorley, then YOGA.com.
Okay, great. So if anyone's interested in stand-up paddleboarding and all those other cool things, Matt needs 4 more people, go sign up. Okay, so probably then for 4 people, I don't know enough about your business and your mailing list and all of those sorts of things to know if you've exhausted all of the logical ways to go find those 4 people. But my sense of it would be, it's up to you. You could totally run through everything that's in the workbooks and depending on how much money you wanted to give to Mark Zuckerberg, you could get a bunch of people signed up to a cut down 90-minute version of what it is that you, obviously not the paddleboarding or the acro, but you know what it is you'll be offering on that retreat, so that people don't have sticker shock. They're not going to not sign up because they don't know who you are. So that would be a good thing to do for attracting strangers to your retreat.
Yes,
and you could do that in quite a quick turnaround, depending on when in September is it, Matt?
Late September.
And it's Bali, so Australians like there all the time.
Yep.
So, you know, Kiwis and people in Asia, so it's totally doable. So you could do that and you'd probably just run that as a one-off, like and you could use lots of like Bali yoga-y images in your ads and they're going to convert well. And then you could do that as a trial run and switch over to get clear on your brand. So you could sort of almost like pilot the method to fill Bali. But if that seems like too much work, then I would just say if you've got other ways to find those 4 people, then I would spend the time really distilling who are these blokes that you want to come into this community? What is the purpose of this community? What are you going to offer them in the long term? Those sorts of things.
Right. Yeah, okay.
But they definitely are different, absolutely different offers. You can't, it would be to join them, it would make the thing too big, like we've been saying.
Yeah. One question, and this is probably more content on virtual retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Can you offer like partner work and body work, or because I've got this idea of doing a simple Thai massage body work session, or potentially some very introductory acro yoga type therapeutic stuff as well.
So you can offer whatever you like. It's just about can your people follow
delivery
while you're talking about it. So it depends if you're going to do audio or video. Obviously, video makes it a hell of a lot easier. I only ever did audio. I remember once, she's a client of mine now, so I'm sure she won't mind me sharing. One of my things, like I taught this whole restorative sequence lying on your back, and she emailed me the next day and she goes, oh, I just figured it out. I was lying on my stomach and it was all really difficult. bad instruction from Amy somewhere along the way. I mean, you can do other things like you can, depending on what members kind of forum, if you're using a Facebook group or something, sometimes after that happened, I was probably overly sensitive to it. So I would actually post up a photo of the asana I was talking about. So people, if they were, could look at the picture. So there's all, you just got to figure out how to make it work, but you can do whatever you like as long as
the delivery is clear.
Yeah. And so that's why doing a trial run is a good idea, so that you don't have people saying, oh, you do that on your back, which is
yeah, cool. Okay. No, that cool. really helps. So, like, I think, I'll focus on filling this retreat and then sort of take a step back and rebrand and, you know, I mean, I still want to run sort of almost in both areas anyway.
Yeah.
I'm still passionate definitely about helping dudes, just empowering dudes to be happy and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, still offer retreats that are you know, absolutely fun in paradise on the water and involving sort of bodywork, acro yoga, and moving their body and connecting, trusting and playing sort of thing.
Sounds very, very nice. And the only thing I would say, just add, is that I love the intention you have about helping guys, and I just would love you to get really clear on and what is the business imperative in that work. Unless, of course, you have some fabulous philanthropic backer and you don't need to worry about money, also be thinking what does this funnel to for me to make an offer?
A corporate men's program.
Or maybe it's like a dude's Bali paddleboarding acro something.
Yeah.
You know, but be clear on that so that it's not the tail wagging the dog.
Sure. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Your line's got one more fabo person. I don't know, this might be an Australian number as well. So I'm not sure where you are, but someone calling in, phone number ending in 0335. You are unmuted. What's your name and what's your question?
Hello, Amy. This is Pam here in Canberra.
Hey, Pam. How are you?
Oh, I'm a bit crook. I'm just getting over a nasty cold, as you can probably hear in my voice.
That happens when you go on holidays.
Yes. I did enjoy my holiday, and then I hit the cold weather of Canberra and boom, caught the local lurgy. Anyway, can I read you my sutra?
Please.
I'd love to have your critique. I'm Pam Blakely, and I offer nurturing, life-enhancing virtual yoga retreats to help you set your life on a new track or after illness. My Gentle Yoga for Recovery online retreats are created to boost energy, vitality, and self-confidence, so you can feel fitter and create your inner peace. My virtual yoga retreat will rekindle your zest for life.
Okay, Pam, because I know you a little, I'm going to go there with you.
Go there.
I love it. And because I know a bit about your business, I totally hear where you're coming from. So everyone who's listening, Pam does amazing things with yoga for recovery and people who have been significantly unwell. Pam, in my experience, when I used words similar to what you've got, I got a whole lot of people joining my online community who were very, very attached to their illness and actually like heavily identified with it and didn't particularly want to shift anything. They were looking to hang out with other people who wanted to sort of, this is really like, kind of wanted to feel sorry for themselves, kind of wanted to glorify how hard it was to be and have all these terrible things that they had. And I would hate for you to generate a community that's kind of low vibe and whingy, really, when I know the power of the work that you do. So I think you can, again, like I've been saying for everybody, get more specific. And I think, you know, you get to choose exactly who you want to work with. I know we've talked about women who are recovering from breast cancer or, you know, or even just cancer might be too broad, given that we're talking about the world. So think about, maybe Pam, think about who are the people that you've had in your yoga for recovery classes in the past that you've really felt lit up by serving, that have responded really well, that have enjoyed working with you. What have you specifically helped them with? And just really tighten up what it is that you've written. So if you were offering these in person in Canberra, I'd say go for it. That's enough. But because you're going literally going global, we need to narrow it way down so that you're far more targeted in the people who come along. So you're actually looking for people who want to get well, who really are ready to reclaim themselves, genuinely interested in healing. I think the way you are, the language that you've chosen makes sense because of the caring, gentle way that you are. In your marketing, I would like it if it was a little bit more specific and kind
punchy.
Of a bit more punchy. Yeah, so that's not your natural style, but it will really help you with your marketing because we're going so much broader.
Okay, Amy. Well, thanks for that. I'll do some more work on it.
yeah, you're off to a great start. I just don't want you to attract, like, needy people who...
The gloomy people who just want to talk about it. Yeah, I know. I meet them too.
Let's call in people who are ready to benefit from what you have to offer.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Pam. All right, folks, I am going to shuffle us along to a little further down in the workbook. So great work on all of those brand sutras so far. I think the general theme here is just to remember that we're talking about the whole world. So go specific. It's not just the people in your city or your town. So it's even more important to get hyperpotent, think like sutra, really. Like, if you think about what is a sutra, sutras literally were designed to be so specific that they in fact had to be translated by someone else so that you could even understand what they were. So only certain people could understand them without some kind of a guide. So, I'm not saying that you become completely incomprehensible, but you do want to be speaking just to your very niche tribe who really want what you have to offer. Alrighty, so next in the module, I was talking really about the basics that you need to get set up. So having a website, having a Facebook page, having a CRM email system. I want to just take any questions that people may have about any of that stuff. So in this program, it's a the nature of it, it's a concise, succinct, kind of punchy program. We're not going into all of the detail about all of these components and how to make them work. That's part of where you get to show up and be empowered about your own learning and seek out that information elsewhere if you need to. But I do want to make some time available today. If you do have any questions about any of that stuff in setting up the structures, so a website, Facebook and your CRM. So you can press star 2 on the phone pad, you can raise your hand on the web call, or you can go ahead and type into the Q&A box if you've got any questions on any of that stuff. And I'm going to jump over and read from the members area because there were a few questions in here about that stuff. Let me see. Okay, branding questions. I'm sure there was a... So Kate Chadbourne. Kate had a question about how do you make a squeeze page through MailChimp? And once it's created, how do you import or integrate it with Facebook? Many thanks, Kate. Okay, great question, Kate. So if you're looking to make a squeeze page through MailChimp, you do that in the sign up forms section. If you choose the general section in the sign up forms area, and then in the you get to build and design your sign up form, you do it there. That's what the picture that I have of me in, I don't know, Balasana or something, in the workbook, that's made in MailChimp, and that's the sign up form in MailChimp. Once you've made that form, MailChimp will give you a URL. And that's the URL that you then paste into Facebook to direct people to that sign up form. So if you're looking to create an ad or boost a post, both of those trainings are up in the members area. The training, 20 minute or so training about how to create a Facebook ad in Power Editor, and then also how to boost a good Facebook ad. So you'd use that URL that MailChimp generates from the sign up form. In the general tab, we'll paste it in there. Hopefully that makes sense, Kate, for you. I hope you're enjoying the sea. Now let's see, Rosemary, you had some, I know you're live on the call with us, but you just had a couple of questions as well. We're not going to talk about that one just yet. Selling the retreat, so we'll get to that in module 4. So Rosemary's question was, do we get the training about how to do a Facebook ad? Yes, Rosemary, it's up in the members area now. Jenna wants to know, do I need to create a website ASAP to work through the course material, or can I hold on and do one later? I'm asking as I'm a complete computer novice and a technophobe. Okay, so Jenna, first up, being a technophobe is a choice. You get to decide. You could be, excitingly embracing your technology journey, or you could be a technophobe. I suggest the former over the latter. It's going to make things much, much easier. The answer to your question about do you need a website? Yes. Actually, if you have MailChimp and a Facebook page, you could get away with not having a website at this point. As long as you've got people going to your MailChimp or CRM, whatever you decide, AdWeber, Constant Contact, Entreport, Infusionsoft, whatever you decide to choose. But as long as you've got people going to your CRM and your CRM has the functionality to save email addresses and send out emails, then no, at this point you don't need a website. You might like to get started with one though, Jenna, and maybe even just have a homepage and a thank you page. You will need somewhere to put your Facebook code. Oh my goodness, I don't want to blow your mind if you're lovingly embracing your technology journey, but you will need a thank you page. You can do that. No, you can still do that through, you still will be able to do that through your CRM. So technically the answer is no. And if you decided to get started on one, very lo-fi free kind of website, that would be a good thing too. It doesn't have to be perfect. My business is based on the premise that done is better than perfect. Ask any of my clients, I'm going on about it all the time. Okay, so Elaine wants to know, where on your website do you have the thank you page? All right, so Elaine, the answer to that is the thank you page is hidden from the navigation, right? So if you went to my web page, you would see that across the top in the navigation bar, there's like, I don't know, sometimes there's 6, sometimes there's 8 tabs, depending on the programs that, that I have for sale. And then actually I have probably about 50 web pages that make up my website. It's just that you can't see the other 42. They're all hidden. So I've got, at the moment in my business, for example, I've got quite a few different Facebook ads running. They go to different opt-in boxes, squeeze pages. They all go to different thank you pages, and then they all go to different email sequences. So depending on where you found out about me, you'll be getting different emails and being taken to different thank you pages. And you can't see any of that when you visit my website. It's not open to the public, if you like. It's back of house. So what I'm saying is the thank you, it's not about so much where it goes. It's just that you need to create a new page on your website that is the thank you page that people get redirected to once they've signed up, and it should be hidden from anyone else. So the only way that people find themselves on your thank you page is because they've been through your opt-in sequence. Cool. All right. Let's go back to see who has any questions about this sort of like nuts and boltsy part. So Sheila, hey Sheila. Sheila's asked, I'm keen to get started with the first module as the first step, but don't have a product ready yet. Is it better to set up the squeeze page with a coming soon label, or is it better to wait and make it live when the actual webinar is ready? Yeah, great question, Sheila. I recommend that. People, when it comes to the internet, people have goldfish brain, right? So, for example, I have a call coming up, a training coming up on Sunday, and people have started signing up for that. What are we now? So they started signing up for that yesterday when I turned the ad on. Now, it's likely that they will have forgotten that they signed up for my training by tomorrow. So I should probably send them another email tomorrow saying, hey, I can't wait to see you all on Sunday, right? That's how short term we are when it comes to this sort of stuff, signing up for things. So I think my suggestion to you at this point, Sheila, would be to build everything as you're learning it in the modules, but let's not turn it all on yet until you're really ready to roll. So you'll look at, I think module 2 has the information about actually setting up the retreat itself, looking at when it is, the technology you're going to use to create it, those sorts of things. So once you get a little bit further down the road, you'll have that data to populate back so that you are ready to go. I hope that makes sense. And Sheila, another Favo question, does MailChimp add these people to a specific list for each retreat that you run? So that's totally up to you, Sheila. You can have as many lists as you like. For a while there, when I was doing my weekly podcast, I would have a different list for each podcast. It got kind of out of control. Like, it got kind of messy. So then I just went for, there's just one. So that's up to you. It's about how you want to run the show. Arguably, there'd be less administrivia if they all just went into one list, but then it depends on when you want to email people about different things. So you've kind of got to play the tape through and figure out what is your ultimate purpose and then work it backwards. Do you need to keep people separate because you're going to be offering them different things at different times, or does it make sense? Is it logical that you could put everybody into the same list and then, you know, when the next one rolls around, you email everybody because they'll all want to hear about it? It depends on, it really, I guess what I'm saying is it depends on your business model. Annetta, hello. Hello, lovely. So Annetta's question is, which is better, MailChimp or LeadPages? They're different things, Annetta. They're different things. So if you had LeadPages, you would also need something like MailChimp. LeadPages is specifically for its software to make landing pages. That's what it does. It's not a CRM. It's not going to store your email addresses. It just has loads of templates that have been industry tested that are very easy to fill out and use as opt-in boxes, which you can also build in MailChimp. The opt-in boxes you can build in MailChimp are much more limited in the design choices, but much more limited in the design choices you have, and don't have the same sort of analytics capacity. You can't split test, for example. If you don't know what that means, don't worry. It's like when you tell someone to engage serrated anterior in a headstand. If they don't know, it doesn't matter. Let it go. So they're different things. They don't do the same thing. They work well together. But so you can have just MailChimp or something similar, but you can't have just LeadPages. LeadPages isn't a small investment. So if you're looking to do this on an oily rag, probably LeadPages isn't the right fit for you at this time. That goes, I'm not pointing out Annetta about specifically about that. That's a general statement. Okie dokie dokes. Lena says, if I'm to use LeadPages, where will my list of contacts? Okay, so that's so if you use LeadPages, Lena, it has the functionality. It talks to MailChimp and other CRMs, not just MailChimp, and it's all part of the integration settings. So say, for example, when Lena, whenever you've signed up for something of mine, you've come through LeadPages, and then LeadPages has flicked your email over into my MailChimp automatically. I absolutely don't do that manually. So they integrate with each other. But that's a good question. If you're thinking of a system, of a CRM system, and you want to use something like LeadPages, and again, there are increasingly more products like LeadPages on the market. It was the only thing like it a couple of years ago. It now has competitors. You do always want to be looking at how do these products integrate. So things, and this will come up again later on in the course when you're looking at what sort of technology do I want to use to host my virtual retreat, and looking at the integration capabilities of that as well. Folks, I'm conscious that I had said that this call would go for 90 minutes, and we're about 15 minutes out of being at 90 minutes. We've got loads more, I suspect, to get through. I'm up for it if you are. If you need to head off at the 90-minute mark, I understand, but don't feel squashed if I haven't got to you yet. I'm good for at least another 45. Okay, Tina. Hey, Tina. Nice to see your comment here. What about for personal trainers who specialize in pelvic floor issues? I really do enjoy working with pre-postnatal mums. That was my speciality, but I can also give a good power flow. The main thing for me is that I want to incorporate lessons that can they can walk away with, opening their mind, creating life awareness. And I also just finished my online coaching certification to be a life coach, wrote out my ideal client. As for my brand mantra, not sure yet. Okay, Tina, great. You can do whatever you like, and you've got to get clarity on it to really make it successful. So I can see that you've got some, you know, what do we say in the industry? Multi-passionate. Awesome. And when you choose one and go with it, that's when you will, generate abundance. And just on that, Tina, you don't have to pick something and stay with it forever. You know, you get to try something, and if you don't like it after 6 months, or if you feel complete with it at 6 months or a year or whatever, you get to try something else. Like, you know, we were saying with Matt, maybe you do more than one thing at a time, but they are discrete projects. And it does mean, so for example, with what we're talking about with Matt, if he wants to do virtual retreats for both of those things and he happens to be enrolling for his two different markets concurrently, then he's doubling down on the work. So just bear that in mind as well. Maybe getting clear, Tina, on what is it that you want to do in your business and work it backwards from there. Okay, Christine wants to know, is there somewhere where we can talk and interact with people who are in the program rather than just the general Facebook group? There isn't a specific Facebook group for this program that I am running, Christine. So if you want to go set one up and invite people, be my guest. I'm not offering that as part of this program. Absolutely, you can connect with people, post up things, and ask for feedback for people who are in the program in my Facebook group. Absolutely, more than welcome. And just like I said, Saucha, about just being really conscious of boundaries about essentially protecting my IP and the IP that you guys have paid for, I would be grateful. Okay, I think we are done there. Let's see, anyone on the call hanging out on the phone line or on the web call that has any questions about CRMs, setting up a business Facebook page or website, last call before we move on in the module. I can't do bad music. I would hum something if I could at this point. But right, moving on. Okay, folks. If anyone has anything text about squeeze pages. Anyone have any squeeze page questions? We've talked a little bit about lead pages versus MailChimp. Anyone doesn't get what I'm talking about, has any questions about anything to do with squeeze pages, you can type that in or raise your hand and I shall unmute you. Okay, plow on. Okie dokie. So then we've got moving into thank you pages. So we've talked a little bit about this already with some of the questions. So as I just sort of flagged in the module, sorry folks, thank you pages are one of the first places where you can start to seed an offer. And we really will be talking about this in a lot more depth in module 4. But I just wanted to check in here, thinking that particularly of you or anyone else who's looking to get going on these sooner rather than later. So Matt, in your example, if you were going to do a virtual retreat essentially to attract the sorts of people you want to come to Bali, I would really encourage you to make your thank you page, say thanks, you're coming along and it's all great. Oh, and by the way, and then provide people with something really enticing about your actual retreat. And it would be great. I don't know what your price point is, but it would be great even if you had like a short video, 2 minute max, 1 minute better video of you saying, hey, I'm Matt and I'm so glad you signed up for my virtual retreat. Did you know I'm heading off to Bali with a group of cool people to do this, that and the other. It might convert for you. You might make a sale just from the thank you page if you make a really compelling video. And for anyone else who wants to get going on this and start selling, Kate Chadbourne, same for you. If you were doing a free one of these to get people to sign up to your program, so to register for the circle, the thank you page is fantastic real estate to make that offer. I used to offer discovery calls off my thank you page for anybody who's doing coaching. That also works really well. We'll go into this more detail in module 4. I just wanted to quickly jump to it for people who are needing that sort of right now for where you are in your business. Okay, anyone? Last call, questions on thank you pages and squeeze pages? Anyone? Star 2 or raise hand button or Q&A box? Okay. Alrighty. Let's see. All right. So then we're talking about your welcome email, and I've pasted in my welcome email so that you can use the bits that serve and leave the bits that don't. One of the reasons that the welcome email is really important is in In embarking on offering virtual retreats, really what you're doing is stepping into the realm of email marketing, right? And so what we're looking for when we're doing email marketing is being able to essentially get into people's inboxes as much as we can without being a pain in the ass. You know, it's like the nerdy guy at school who wants to date the cool girl. Like he's just accidentally happens to sit next to her at lunch and he like carries her books and all of that sort of stuff. And you really want to be there as much as you can without annoying somebody. So you don't want to be spammy, but you want to like always be there. And so sending a thank you email is a great way to get into people's inboxes without them being like, oh my God, why is this woman emailing me all the time? People expect to get a confirmation email from you when they sign up for something that you're offering. So in that, it's always about not wasting an opportunity, right? If you, sorry, I just went straight back to my dating analogy and maybe that doesn't play, that tape doesn't play fully through very well. But you know, if you're getting your email into someone's inbox, God, then you want to make it count, right? You want to be compelling. You want to make sure that you're looking to generate rapport with your people. You want to really convey who you are and how you roll, so that people start to get a sense of you. So maybe this example in the module isn't the best one, but you know, you can tell from my tone, you can tell from the salutations that I use, the way that I sign off in my emails, you start to get a sense of who I am and what my brand is, what I have to offer. And also it's good, as well as just giving people the details about when the retreat will be and how they access it, it's also good to give them a little bit of extra information as well. So it's like, you know, I'm looking out for you, I'm interested in your well-being. And I want to just let you know that I'm thinking of you and that I'm the, it's not asserting your power, but it's like creating the relationship with you being the teacher and them being the student. And so you'll see in my email, I also just sort of pose some questions, how checking in with them, how are you feeling? Is there anything that I could do to support you during the session? Like, just extending an open hand and saying, I'm here for you. You're really a valued part of my community. And, you know, to be fair, also posing those sorts of questions, soliciting information from your subscribers is a really important thing to do to help to build relationships. So whenever I send out an email for an opt-in, if you opted in for something of mine recently, maybe you've just met me because you signed up for the virtual retreats training call, when you got your welcome email from me for that call, it would have ended with, before I finish up today, Amy, I'd love it if you could spare a moment and write back to me to let me know what interests you most about offering virtual retreats. And so that sort of sentence, which I want you to have in your welcome email, has two functions. One, it helps me with market research so that when I get on that call or when you get into your virtual retreat, you already know really what your people want and you can make sure that you deliver. Now that's going to be satisfying for them if you show up and give them what they want. The other thing that it does is it helps you build rapport. If someone writes to you, that's golden if you're looking to make some kind of a paying offer further down the line. So if someone writes to me and says, hey, Amy, I'm looking forward to your training and I want to get passive income and poolside laptop lifestyle, whatever, great, I get to write something really friendly back and we have a stronger connection than them just being a stranger on my mailing list. And in, again, not a particularly pleasant phrase, in online marketing we call this a warm lead as opposed to a cold lead, right? So you're looking to, marketing talk again, warm up your leads so they're more likely to purchase from you. Unless, of course, you have a philanthropic backer and you don't need to make money, and then in that case you can have as many cold leads as you like. All right, so that's welcome emails. Any questions about welcome emails or anything? In fact, let's, from where we are right now, I'm just going to throw it open. So welcome emails, opt-in boxes, thank you pages. Any other questions on anything that we've covered so far? Go for it. I shall take another sip of fizzy water. Alrighty. So I'm not seeing any hands raised. Either I've bored you all, or you've just feel completely satisfied. Or maybe you just, I don't know, too shy. Don't be shy. Okay, in that case, I'm going to pop back over to the members area and make sure that I've fully answered everybody's questions. Okay, Christina, you had some more questions. Let's see. So Christina just wanted to know if I could also put the my virtual retreat, those five examples, in to make them downloadable. Yes, absolutely. They are in the Dropbox folder along with the workbooks. Belinda O'Day, fabulous photo Belinda posted in my Facebook group earlier today, with her in a rose petal bath. Looked heavenly. So, okay, Belinda wants to know if she's on the right track with her copy and whether it sparks an interest. So the potential intro copy: I'm Belinda O'Day and I offer heartfelt healing yoga and mantra meditation to busy and burnt out modern women so that they can take time to connect to their divine feminine in order to find more balance, energy and a deeper sense of well-being in their lives. My Reconnect and Restore virtual retreat will help you gain a deeper sense of why you have arrived at this place of depletion and work towards tapping into the wellspring of knowledge and innate intelligence held within your own body to move towards deep healing through the wisdom of yoga. All right, so Belinda, I want you to cut that down. Like, pretend you're at high school and you had an assignment with a word limit, and reduce it, become more succinct, more sutra style. And again, as we've been saying, I feel that this is too broad. I want you to get clear on what is your purpose beyond these retreats, or if your intention is to have the retreat be a paid offering in and of itself, who specifically do you want showing up, right? Because this could be busy and burnt out modern women is kind of everybody who has those chromosomes living now, right? Potentially. So, and then you also say divine feminine, and that, I think, knowing you, divine feminine could swing you way out into woo-woo town, which is not where your people are either. So I want you to think about words that are going to make sense to your people. Think about the qualities of these women, the attributes that they have, where they hang out, what their interests are. Maybe think about the women who go to your yoga classes or have been on your retreat to India in the past or come to your workshops that you love working with. Maybe think about the women that you've been hanging out with in Bali that have been doing this same sort of work, the ones that really had it together, what language would make sense to them? Really get more specific, because I just feel again that this needs a tweak. It's just it's still too broad. But you're off to a really good start. Christina's got some more questions here. What do you use to design your logos and images? Okay, I use canva.com, and yep, I do them all myself for better or for worse within canva.com, free software. And as I say, I've got a masterclass that you can listen to if you want to on iTunes. Just search for Abundant Yoga Teacher Podcast, a masterclass on branding, at least my dum-dums version to branding. And I always say that you just pick one thing. I mean, logo schmogo, I say. It's not the 80s. You don't need one. I don't have one, but I do have a consistent – I use two different fonts only all the time the same sorts of colors all the time, and that builds up my very simple brand identity. Okay, I've answered the question about being multi-purpose. How do you structure online retreats, what to charge and how to keep charging up, changing it up enough? Okay, so we're going to cover that in a future module. I'm going to take that question on notice. How to work with challenging questions which might come up from live attendees while still holding space for the students, or panicking while live. Okay, so the panicking part, I addressed the panicking part in my own experience by doing audio only, because it means that you can mute yourself and go hark if you need to. That's kind of helpful. As far as working with challenging questions, I mean, it's no different to if that happened in real time. And in fact, if anything, I find that people are more hesitant. In my experience, people generally are more hesitant about raising their hand and speaking on the phone than they would be confronting you with something challenging in person. And sort of somewhere in the middle on video has been my experience. But I suspect that people might write something snarky if you had a Facebook running or something while your retreat was running. If it was, I mean, you'd really have to trigger someone for that to happen. For them to have gone through your process, gone through opting in, getting your welcome stuff, turning up live, you would really have to say something, you know, kind of out there to piss someone off that much, I imagine. But, you know, you just handle it with grace and transparency like you would if something awkward happens during your class. Audra, I'm so glad you're here, Audra. So Audra asks, I always get stuck on branding. I took a few online courses last winter in personal branding and branding in general, and I'm still spinning my gears 6 months later. Okay, step one, stop doing that. I'm not sure if I want to use my name because it seems complicated for people to remember and spell. Audra, I don't think your name is complicated. I think going with your name is a smart move. Because really what you're talking about is building a personal brand. I would recommend to get out of overthinking that unless your intention really is to sell your business, unless you have some very clear vision about something to the contrary, choose your name, unless it's already taken. All right, I have a spiritual name that I sometimes prefer to go by in life. Okay, order it, figure it out. Like, which one? Choose it. Pick the spiritual name or the other name and just do it. Just do it. Fail forward, my dear. Don't stop overthinking it and switch yourself into action. It doesn't have to be that hard. I think your name's fab. Like, I've been thinking about your name. I think it's a fab name. Make that the name of your business. I started out with a free WordPress blog last year, but stopped all efforts due to not being able to settle on a business name. So get out of your own way, my dear. You've got this. Just pick one thing. And if you can't, then go Dada and pull it out of a hat and move forward. You can always come up with something else and redirect it in the future. Okay, we've got Kate. We've answered your question. Okay, so Rosemary, your question about for tonight, my question is, if doing the retreats free, which you plan to, should you just have one offer in mind? Okay, so good question, Rosemary. So I find it works better if you only offer one thing at a time, if you have a single focus when you're making an offer, so that people aren't going, should I do this or should I do that or should I, they just go yes or no. But that doesn't mean that you need to offer the same thing all the time. So if you listen into the example retreats and the members area, I'm offering different things in those, right? So 1 month I might be selling personal coaching, and the next month I might be saying, come to my retreat, and then the next one I might be offering a home study course. So it depends on what your business model is, where you want to drive sales, right? So once you're clear on that, I would only offer one thing at a time, but you can offer different things over time. All right, so next question. You mentioned possibly of selling all the retreats at once at the beginning stages of an email automation. Would that be a pre-recorded version of the virtual retreats? Yes, is the answer to that, Rosemary. And I, in the past, we'll talk about this more in module four, but in the past, as soon as someone opted in, they went to a thank you page which said, and you can see this is in the module four workbook, it says, hey, great, you're registered, but if you'd like it right now, you can download for virtual retreats for $7. So that if you want to get into that right now, Rosemary, it's all there, ready to go in the module four workbook. All right, I think that's all the questions in the members area. So let me jump on back to see who's still hanging around. Okay, David wants to know, what frequency do you send reminder emails? How far in advance of an event do you post an ad? Do post the first ad for the email list? So it depends, David. It depends. So the reminder emails, my pattern, and these are all the templates are in the modules, in the workbooks, I send out a day before, an hour before, and a right on time. And then as soon as I'm finished, I send out the replay email. And probably in internet marketing land, I'm quite light on. My coach, for example, she sends you, as soon as you opt in, you're getting an email a day from her. No matter how early you got there, she's on to you. It just feels a bit too spammy for me. And to be perfectly frank, I would prefer to be on my yoga mat than reminder emails, you know. Sure, once you've done it once, you just replicate them, but still, that's a lot of emails to write. So when I was using this system successfully to build my business, I did 1 day before, 1 hour before, right on time, and a replay. And that's from having about a week's notice to get people to sign up. Anything longer, David, you would want to put in some more emails so that they don't 2 weeks ago, like, oh, shit, I forgot I signed up for that thing. You know, I forgot I was fracking around at work because my back was so sore and I hit on this ad on Facebook and signed up for that thing 3 weeks ago and they're not going to show up on the day. So it's about what's not too much and what's, you know, it's Goldilocks. So think about, I like to go at about no more than a week and a half out from putting an ad up. And then I would probably, if someone did opt in a week and a half out, I probably would stick in an extra email in between the welcome email and the 1 day reminder to just so that they remembered me. And also that I think that would be very palatable to anybody. You'd have to be very spam sensitive for that to feel like it was too much. Hopefully that helps. Okay. Someone else who's anonymous on the Q&A box. Sorry, I can't address you personally. I'm also still pondering on what I want to offer. On the one hand, yoga teachers for nurturing for burnout, but can this be used for a funnel for to further offerings? As I want to offer support for yoga teachers with an online program which I will design, or is it best to go straight to it? I'm not sure what you mean. Is it best to go straight to it? I find that I think I know what you mean. I'm not sure if this is still you, Rosemary. I can't tell, but whoever. So I find that people want to get something, some time with you for free before they buy something. So great, offer generate an online program to support yoga teachers, and offer your virtual retreats to yoga teachers, and then make the offer that they sign up for the program during the virtual retreat. So online marketing, use your virtual retreats as a lead magnet to sell your paid program. Okay. So back to someone in Portland whose phone number ends with 2799. You're unmuted. Who's this?
Hi, it's MJ.
Hey, MJ. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise.
What's your question, my dear?
Well, earlier I was trying to do the Sutra brand thing, but I had town too, so I never got to ask about that. Mine isn't fully done. I just am wondering, will you be able to help with that later too? Or can I email it to you or something?
You can totally call in with it on another training. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Do you want to play with it a bit now, or is it totally not ready?
It's fine. Let me ask my other quick question though.
Sure.
Hopefully it's quick. As far as the confirmation email goes, like I already have a website, I have MailChimp, but sending a confirmation like the next day, is that something that you can build? You can build it and set up automatically just like you would any other newsletter email you're sending out, yes?
Yeah, so yes and. As soon as someone opts in, I want them to get your confirmation email, your welcome email, immediately. So people are expecting that immediately. And you do that so you use MailChimp, MJ?
I use MailChimp.
Okay, cool. So in MailChimp, in the sign-up form section, there's an option, it's optional, to create a welcome, like a confirmation, I think it's called a confirmation email. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the final email, and it's not, in MailChimp, it's optional if you send it or not. So if you fill that out, if you turn that on and then design it, you can put in all the text you want to, copy what you feel called to from what's in the modules, and that will be automatically sent to them as soon as they sign up.
Okay. And then you also send an email the next day.
It depends. It depends when you opt into stuff. It depends on the timing. Yeah. So... And it also depends on, you know, depends on what you're trying to do. Like, say for example, if my virtual retreat was on Sunday, you found my Facebook ad on Friday and opted in, you would get the welcome email on Friday. You would get the one-day reminder email on Saturday, and you'd get three emails on Sunday, 1 hour, right now, and replay email all on the Sunday. But if you opted in on Wednesday, then you'd have 2 days where you didn't receive an email from me, for example. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. Did you have
any other
questions?
No, that was it. And so I'll just work more on, because I haven't done the Brand Sutra, but I'm on a very kind of overarching idea of who and what, and I'm still kind of working that out a little bit. But so everything, listening to everything will be really has been really helpful. So hopefully I'll be able to be ready with it next time.
Awesome. So, and just like go specific.
Go specific. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's hard, but I'm going to try.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I'm interested, MJ, if you can, if you've got a second to hang on the line a little longer, I'm interested in why it's hard to go specific.
So like a lot of other people have been doing, you know, you're like, I know that my population is, my ideal clients are women, but, you know, beyond that, I'm like, oh, it's anyone who considers herself a woman as opposed to a girl. But then, you know, I was like, oh, that's specific. That's not specific. That's really generic. But, I mean, it does for me take out kids. I don't want, you know, kids aren't my thing. Are there other people saying not my thing? So now from there I have to be like, okay, who am I? And, like, what am I trying? What is, you know, what is my purpose? Like, what am I here to offer? So getting really specific on, well, is she like me, you know? I think other people see me as woo-woo, but I don't really see myself that way. So, you know, trying to think, like, how are others going to perceive it, like you have been saying, and how do others see me and see my teachings? So just trying to really take a global view of it as opposed to a narrow view. And like you said, like in the, you know, the yogi terminology, trying not to think that way. And that is what I think is – get specific, but don't get all, you know, yoga jargon. And, you know, try and really, and I saw some of those questions that you were asking in that module are like really specific. Do they have children? How many children? I'm like, whoa.
So that, and that's why. And so my, another way to come at it, MJ, because I think that we can kind of get to, intellectual about it and sort of analytical and thinking about what will work and what makes sense. And like I was saying earlier about Belinda's comment, when we think about who are the people that we've had experience with, working for, having as students in the past that have just been amazing. You know, I can think of people who, you know, contacts of mine that I've helped work on the yoga business, for example, and I've just loved how we've interacted. I've loved the outcomes they've got. I've loved how we've had fun and got, you know, had achievement together. And so I sort of base what is my ideal client from the experiences I had with those people. So maybe you could even think about who are the, you know, one or two, three women that you've worked with in the past that have just been, you know, golden, that you've loved so much. And then start to imagine that you're in fact writing something that is going to appeal to just those three women. What would they really love to see? What are they going to click on Facebook? What are they going to make sure they turn up for because it speaks directly to them? That might be a different angle for you to come at it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I think that'll be really helpful to help narrow it down a little bit.
Cool.
So, yeah, great. Thank you.
All right, good luck.
thank you.
I cut you off slightly then, MJ. Sorry about that. All right, so if anyone that hasn't asked a question yet that would like to, raise your hand on the web call, press star 2 on your keypad. my instant teleseminar has just kind of cacked itself, but we seem to be back on track. Or any other questions in the Q&A box? Going to do a bit of a last call, folks. Anyone who hasn't, there's quite a few people, I've got to say, there's quite a few people who are on the call who have not raised their hands. Folks, you've got to be in it to win it. If there's anything you want me to cover, if everything's crystal clear, that's brilliant, and I have underestimated my capacity to write a workbook. I suspect, though, that you may just be a little bit shy. So last call, if you haven't asked a question yet and you have something that needs clarifying, your time is now. I'm more refresh of everything. Alrighty, going. Okay, so I'm going to wrap us up there, folks. Thanks for hanging in there with me for a little longer than scheduled. Just great to get through everybody's questions. I'm super excited for all of you to like really laser in on who are the people that you desire to serve in your virtual retreat. Remember, we're talking about a global audience, so you get to be very specific. In fact, that's your job in targeting your ideal students, your ideal clients here, because you want to make sure that the right people are finding you, and really you're getting to share your gifts with the people who really, really need them. I love that people seem to be plowing through all of the techie bits. That's great. The workbooks are designed for you to use as much of my stuff as you want to. And if that looks like identical copying, I don't mind whatsoever. So please use whatever serves and alter, change, ditch altogether what doesn't. We are meeting again in August. So the two first sessions are quite close together because we're really looking at getting everybody up and running. So stay with it, get to with your implementation. If you want to find a mastermind buddy or a support person, go post a bit of a personal ad in my Facebook group and find someone who you can tag team with. Ditto if you just have questions and you want to throw those around with other people in the program. There are quite a few fabulous folks doing the program, and I suspect there'll be some great conversations to be had. And again, just a Sasha notice shout out about sharing the link to the members area. Please don't do that. All right, everyone, I'm going to call it quits. It's been great hanging out with you, and I'm really looking forward to speaking to you all again and seeing how you're going with implementation. Take care and talk again soon.